This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
My love for you. This is God speaking to us. So that's God's love for us. If God's love wasn't there, we wouldn't be here. If God's love wasn't there, Jesus wouldn't have been in this world. Because John 3:16 says, God loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So if the love from God wasn't there, Jesus wouldn't have been there. We wouldn't have been here together today, because there's no reason. Yes, we would have had a cup of coffee and eaten the cupcakes, but that's the reason why we're here. Is we want to communicate with God. We want to hear what is on his heart. And it's helping us as well, because it's also supporting us, the love of God. If the love of God was also not there, there wouldn't have been a hope for us. There wouldn't have been a future for us. It would just have been a matter of becoming dust again from where we're coming, or going to hell, whichever way God decided it. So it's so important that we must understand how, on the basis of everything, it is God's love. That's where it starts. If God's love is not there, we'll become just dust again when we come to the end of our lives. But what is exactly God's love? Can we understand it? Can we make it part of us? And I want to mention four parts of what God's love is. And the first one is, God loves us so much that he is calling us. 1 Corinthians 1 verses 26, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble or called." God is calling us out of the darkness into the light. This is how much God loves us. And he gives that option to each and every one. It's not only to a few. It's not if you've got a certain length or size or skin color or coming from a certain country. No, it's available for each and every one. Like it says in John 3:16, whoever. There's no qualification or no requirement over there. It's available for each and every one. And it is that what God is doing over there is calling everyone. But we know that we people have got sometimes requirements. We've got certain things that we're asking what God must do first. Like the Jewish people. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Gentile and to the Greek foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. God is calling us, and he doesn't make a difference if you're a Greek or a Jew, if you're a pagan. He is calling us. And we've seen over here that the Greek and the Jew, they wanted to have it a certain way. But God is doing it his way. He loves us on his way. And like the verse also said in 26, where it's talking about the wise and the mighty and the noble, they are called as well. But for them it's difficult. The wise people always start thinking. And we unfortunately find them quite often over here on a Thursday evening as well, if we evangelize in Utrecht. They want to explain everything. There are many things of God which we cannot explain. We just have got to accept it. We just have got to accept it as it is. We cannot explain it. We cannot reason it out as what you can do it with the math sum. You can't do it. It's also mighty. The mighty people is also very difficult, because the mighty people have got other people at their feet. And for them it's very difficult to subject themselves to be at God's feet, because they're not used to that. They're used to that other people are at their feet. And then you've got the noble as well, the high and the important people. A lot of them are wealthy as well. For them it is also difficult, because wealth is something what they've got. And unfortunately, along with it goes pride. And pride is keeping them that distance away. The first, God is calling us. The next one is God is choosing us. He has chosen us. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the state, the things they are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God has chosen foolish things. God has chosen foolish people. God has chosen weak things, and God has chosen weak people. God is not choosing the cream of the top. We've seen so many times with Jesus as well, that he goes to the weak, that he goes to the ones who are having problems, and he spends time with them. That's where we can find Jesus. The word which has been used over there, chosen, is the same word what Paul is using later in Ephesians as well, where it says, just as he chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, have predestined us to adoption as son and by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God has chosen us. It's not a matter of that before the foundation of the earth that God has already chosen who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. No. What it means that before the foundation of the earth, God's plan was already fixed. It was already there. It's not going to change anymore. God already had the plan of Jesus, and God already has that, got that plan. Whoever accepts Jesus Christ will be saved. There are some, unfortunately, I've got to mention, there are some people who think that God has chosen you, if it's already determined before the foundation of the earth, what can we do about it? So there's nothing. So they basically become passive. But that's not the case. God has chosen us, that we can be in a relationship with God, and that things can happen in our lives. God has called us, he has chosen us, and God loves us by putting us in Christ. Now, if we have been put in Christ, we basically become a unity with Christ. We are united in Christ. And the effect, what we're going to have then, if we're going to become unified with Christ, we can read it in verse 30. But of him, you are in Christ Jesus, that is that unity in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glorifies, let him glorify in the Lord. God is giving us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification and redemption in Christ. It's an a tremendous amount what God is giving us through his love. So he's giving us that he is calling us, he's choosing us, he's putting us in Christ, and he's giving us that wisdom, that righteousness, sanctification and redemption. The righteousness that we are in a right standing with God. Sanctification is that we continuously with that process of growing, of getting closer to God. It's also the process where I spoke about last week. And then redemption. We do not have to die for the things what we've done wrong. Jesus redeemed our sins. He died for our sins. So if God called us, he's chosen us, he's put us in Christ, he's given us all those awesome things, how are we going to make it our own? What are we going to do? We've got to react. And we've got to understand it. We've got to experience it, what God wants to tell us and how we can make it part of our lives. If we spend time with God, we are going to experience it. If we're going to spend time with God, we are going to understand it, or what God's love actually is. If it is a distance, if it is just reading a book, it's not helping. But what we've just now heard from Werner from a testimony, and in my case as well, if it starts living in you, if you're experiencing it, if you're understanding it, and if you hear God's word and you get the Holy Spirit speaking to you, then you understand God's love. And then you get more appreciating of what God actually has done. And that the creator of heaven and earth, who's made everything what we can see, that he's spending time with you, that you are special, that he wants to spend time with you. God has already started before the foundation of the earth. God already made a plan. He's already busy with us. But it's for us. We've got to react on it. And we've got to say, okay, are we allowing God in our lives, or are we not allowing God in our lives? And something has got to change. And I write over here, you've got to change your blood group. Now, if we say blood group, how can you change blood group? Yes, we've got to change our blood group from the world negative to the Jesus positive. Because the world is negative. If we take any news program or whatever, the news what's there is negative news. We do not see positive news. We do not see if a person who's been healed or got saved or anything like that. That we don't see on the news. But we see about earthquakes and about storms. Those are the things what we see. We see the negative things. So if we want to really experience God, we've got to change our blood group. We've got to become from world negative. We've got to become Jesus positive. And if we've got Jesus positive in us, if we've got that blood group, then we are changing. Our whole way of acting or way of speaking, it's going to change. I just want to give you an example over there. I've got a younger brother. His blood group is cars. He knows all the registration numbers of all the cars, what my dad ever drove in his life. All the brands, the model numbers, the colors, he will tell you everything. That's his blood group. Cars. He can tell you anything about cars. This is what God wants us, that our blood group should be Jesus positive, that we know everything about Jesus, and that we can tell anybody everything about Jesus, because that's what's keeping us alive. Once I went to a bed and breakfast, and in the morning when I woke up, I got my breakfast, and I was sitting at the table and having my breakfast, and then the owner of that breakfast, she was sitting outside smoking a cigarette. She was not spending time with me. She was basically waiting till I was finished, that she could clean up. And that was actually her job. Her blood group, her blood, wasn't bed and breakfast. It was just a thing what she was doing because she had to do it. A few weeks later, I went to another guest house because I didn't want to go to the same one again, and I had to go to that place again. Then I went to a guest house. There was a couple. And I got my breakfast in town, and I started eating. They were also in the same room, but they started talking. I started talking. They started talking. It meant that I missed my first appointment. But their blood group was just bed and breakfast. They just wanted to make it as comfortable as possible for me that I was going to come back, because that was the blood group. And this is what it has got to be in our lives as well. Our blood group has got to be Jesus positive, that we continuously talk about God, about Jesus, and about the Holy Spirit. Like I said, God has already done something. The first thing that he has done already in us, without us actually knowing about it, that he already put gifts in us. The first ones what I want to talk about is the gifts of the Father. We call them also the redemptive gifts. And we can read them about them in Romans 12 from 6 to 8. Having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use in our ministering. Or who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, and he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. God has already built it into us. God is already busy with us. He's already showing his love for us. It's not a matter that God says, okay, the day when you decide that you're going to accept Jesus, then I'm going to come. No. God's love already started. He already put those things in us. In the beginning, the first time I did this exercise of completing the answers and determining then what is your, because you roughly have got two which are a little bit stronger. My first one was teacher and the second one was prophet. And I thought, prophet, what is a prophecy actually? What does it mean? And then when I read up a little bit about it, I understood what it actually meant. And I could start prophesying. I could start doing the things what God wanted me to do, what was built in me. I didn't know about it. So it's not a matter that you're going to be put into a box. It's maybe going to reveal to you what God has already put into you that you can use not for yourself, but for the benefit of other people. Again, God is giving you that you not can run faster or swim further or jump higher or anything like that, but that you can be a positive contributor for the person who is also living with you. The next gifts which are available is the gifts of the Son, which is of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head of the church, and he's giving these gifts, which are also called the fivefold ministries, he's giving it to them, of those who want to get involved into the ministry. And he gave himself, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These are the gifts of the Son. The Son, like it says, and he himself, Jesus himself, gave some to be those apostles. If we want to get involved into the ministry, these are the type of gifts what God has given to us. And if we spend time on it, then we will also find out what is the gift what God actually has given us that we can be involved in the ministry. The last one where I want to talk about is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit is not that God is forcing it down on us. We've got to go to God and we've got to ask for it. And he will give it to us. But we've got to come and we've got to go to God and say, Lord, I want to accept the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit, again, it's not for yourself. It's that you can be used for edifying the church, for the people around you. 1 Corinthians 12, 7-10. But a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, the other one a word of knowledge through the same Spirit, the other one faith by the same Spirit, the other one gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And this is going to happen in church quite soon. But one of the same Spirit work of all these, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So we're also not going to be getting exactly the same. We are different. God has given different things to different people so that we can edify each other. Me and my wife, we are different. We were different in the redemptive gifts. We're also different in the gifts of the Son and in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But we can help each other. We can, both of us, can help then other people in the church. I want to conclude. God's love, we cannot ignore it. God has called us. He's chosen us. He's put us in Christ. He made Christ our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. And God has put that redemptive gift, the gift of the Father, he already planted it in us, that we already have got it, that we can use it for other people. And God is waiting for us, that we should come to him and say, I want to receive the Holy Spirit, and I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that the gifts of the Holy Spirit can flow through me. God's love, we cannot describe it in words. The Bible is just the line what we see through it is God's love. Because if God's love is not there, the Bible doesn't mean anything. Because then we can delete nearly the whole Bible. But to experience it and to make it part of our lives, we've got to give all. We cannot hold something back. We've got to change our blood group. I'm prepared to change my blood group. Or you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.